So I believe everybody's going to embrace that opportunity and embrace that challenge of trying to become one of the better team, one of the better D linemen or D line, and better defenses. But once again, it's on paper. You just got to go make it happen now.
The Dave Dameshek Football Program, available on iTunes and at davedameshek.nfl.com. Now here's your host, Dave Dameshek.
Hi and hello, football fans. Welcome to the Dave Dameshek Football Program, presented by MeUndies. Go get some. Treat your tuchus right.
You should. You should. Those are great underwear. I love them.
Whoa! Coming out of the gate, firing, advocating for MeUndies. That is the voice of one of the best pass rushers in all of pro football. And dare I say, our pal, you just heard his voice from way back in 2011. He had just become a Seattle Seahawk all these years later.
Before being a champion.
That's it. Yeah. No longer in the theoretical, no longer on paper. Now, in fact, indeed as well. It's number 56 from the Seattle Seahawks, Cliff Avril. What's the poop, fella?
Nothing much, man. How you doing?
What a pleasure to see you once again.
Hey, man. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Yeah, I saw you on Monday night at NFL Network. You and me sat there. We kibitzed about the latest batch of players that made the top 100 list on NFL Network. Your name is upcoming, yes or no?
I hope so. Finally, I hope so. I believe I should be on, but I mean, I felt like I should have been on there a few times.
You've never made it.
Never made it.
Is that true?
In 9 years, 9 seasons.
That's outrageous. I didn't know that. As a matter of fact, you should have done. You should have made a whole thing on the show on Monday night. Like, wait, well, I'm not talking until my name shows.
Yeah, you know. Hopefully this year. Hopefully this is the year. Hopefully we'll get that name across the screen. Top 50, maybe. I don't know.
Now, you're a Purdue Boilermaker. We've talked about it. I think it is pretty neat, though, as a matter of fact, that you didn't jump the gun. You didn't shoot your mouth off about, like, look out, NFL, because the Seahawks are going to dominate. You said, no, we have to do it, and then we'll talk. Well, now we can talk. I think it's fair to say, in over the last half dozen or so years, the Seahawks did, in fact, become the era's best defense. True?
Yeah, no, we've done some great things in the past for sure. Last year actually was a little slump, I guess, in the sense of how we played on defense. But we've done some great things since I've been there, and I'm glad to be a part of it. We have some great players. We've done some good things.
Two things about the great Seahawks defense as we sit here in between 2016 and the kickoff of 2017. First thing, I have the Jenga theory. In the 21st century, every NFL team is going to have injuries, whether you like it or not. Mm-hmm. The question is, are you going to lose the wrong guy? Because if you lose the wrong guy, and it's hard to suss out who that guy is.
As I said, you don't know who that guy is until it happens.
Well, Michael Bennett's had to sit down. He's a dominant pass rusher, of course. You've sat down a little bit. Some of the linebackers have guys that, but Earl Thomas goes out.
Yeah,
and then that was it. All of a sudden, and then you go up to Green Bay, and the Packers whip you, and you have the Packers number usually too. That was worrisome, and you know you had a good year, but by the Seahawks standards, a little bit not as great as you would have hoped, right?
Stat wise, not as great as you would hope. I mean, we still won 10 games. You know what I mean? So you know, obviously, it's not as great of performance over the season. You know, so up and down. It was a roller coaster year. We lose Earl, which obviously, you know, he's one of the best safeties in the game, my personal opinion, as far as for how he can cover ground, tackling, all these different things. So, you know, you put somebody else back there, and not to say they're not good, but it's hard to replace Earl. You know, it is what it is. You know, he's been doing it for so long in that scheme. And you lose Earl and you know, kind of goes downhill a little bit.
I know, but I mean, I would go one step further, near impossible, because Earl Thomas comes out in the great Jenga game of the Seahawks defense, and I wouldn't say you guys imploded, but you were palpably a different team out there and not as stout defensively.
For sure.
What was that? First of all, let's go back to what it was like in the locker room. So he breaks his leg. It's sad. It's hard to watch, as it always is.
Yeah.
He then says, that might be it for me. I might be done. What is it? It seems like it's being in a relationship. If a girl says, like, maybe we need a little bit of a break. Like, you don't want to press the issue. You don't want to be like, no, we got to keep going. You don't do that, because then you're definitely. What do you do? Do you call him? Do you say to him, like, come on, Earl?
So this is how the whole scenario played out for me. So we're, you know, he breaks his leg in the game, and Marshawn shows up on our sideline, and he said he shows up because he sees
Marshawn
the
tweet. Who?
Marshawn Lynch.
Oh, the, okay, yeah,
the Marshawn Lynch.
I got you. Okay.
He shows up on the sideline, and he's like, "I had to come to the game because Earl just tweeted that he's retiring," and I'm like, "He just broke his leg like literally 5 minutes ago," you know. So we're like, "There's no way." I'm like, "Marshawn, you're whatever, you know, you're playing." Then we get in the locker room, and everybody's phone is blowing up. Earl Thomas, you know, says he might retire and all these different things. And he's still in the locker room at this time. So, you know, I walk over to him, just check on him, see how he's doing. And obviously, I'm thinking it's like one of those emotional tweets, you know, because he's so young, you know. So I'm like, you know, he's in his feelings. So I'm not going to mention it. I'm just checking on him to see how he's doing. And then, like 3 days later, I'm like, so what's this crap I hear about you retiring?
Yeah, 3 days was a good waiting period. You don't want to press it the next morning.
No, you definitely – next morning is still, you know, a sensitive subject, so you don't want to talk about it. But a few days later, I definitely text him like, hey, man, what's – like, how you feeling? Like, what's – like – what is this mess that everybody's
talking
about?
That was all. That wasn't you. Yeah, no, that was about that.
Somebody else must have tweeted that. You know, or he was hacked per se. You know, how most people say.
That's right. Yeah.
But you know, I'm just glad he's back, man. I'm just glad. You know, obviously, you go through these things. You're emotional at the time. That's probably why you shouldn't pick up your phone when you're going through stuff like that. And but you know, I'm glad to see he's back moving around. He's almost there, and we definitely need him if we want to make that run.
It would seem, based on the evidence that we had on the second half of 2016, that you do really need him back there. Mm-hmm. But it's weird. I don't know if you heard, but over the last month or so, I don't know, what's this jazz about Richard Sherman? We're going to trade him? Where did this come from? How did you – first of all, let's start there. How do you find out as a key member of that defense, wait, who's talking about trading what?
So I've seen it across the ticker, you know. You see it on Instagram, Twitter, and I'm like, yeah, whatever. This is just getting blown out of proportion. It's kind of a dead period. So I'm like, yeah, they're just trying to find things to talk about, you know. So I don't speak on it. Then it kind of died down for probably a couple weeks and then came back up. And I'm like, this is when they talked about him going to the Patriots. And so I'm like, oh, okay. Now I got to tweet. And I got to text him, see what's going on, you know. And he's just like, you know, it's all, you know, some BS, basically. And I'm like, okay, well, that's good to know. Then I talked to some other players, and they're like, I think this might be real. So at this point, I'm like, do I go back and ask him about the question again, or do I just let it play itself out? But I'm just glad that you know, it's kind of died down, and I'm ready to make a run with these guys, and hopefully Sherm is a part of this run.
I mean, listen.
We definitely need him. He's one of those pieces as well, all right? He's one of those pieces that you need, as far as for the whole Jenga concept, that you need him because – Earl's coming off an injury, Cam's coming off surgery, you know, and Deshaun Shedd's coming off of ACL. So you're going to trade healthiest guy? You're going to trade the healthiest guy? I don't.
Mr.'s Carroll and Schneider are listening, so choose your words carefully. No, they may not be, though. So let's assume they aren't. What would make this happen? Surmise that this is a message to the team? Because people have floated that outside the building, have floated that this is a message to everyone. No one is safe. You know, you all have to earn it every year.
It's the NFL. Kind of. I mean, you'd be a dummy to think you are safe at any point. Like, you know, because they're drafting guys left and right. They drafted a defensive end every year since I've been there. You know what I'm saying? So you'd be an idiot not to think that, you know, to take it for granted that, you know, you're bigger than the team or whatever the case may be. But, you know, I don't see this happening. It's just hard for me to see it happening. It's hard for me to believe that they would let one of the best corners in the game go right now.
And that's the opinion. I know he's your teammate.
It's
so what are you going to say?
Opinion.
Your opinion is that Richard Sherman deserves, because he is he's one of those guys that people like to debate. We did see in the past year and a half, we did see him to the maybe in response to the cynics out there or otherwise, or just for practical football reasons. Hey, Sherm, we're going to move you around. We're not just going to leave you over there on that one side.
Yeah.
Does that prove something to you? Did you care? Is that something that is relevant to the rest of the team to prove himself?
Midseason, I have way too much going on to be worried about if Sherm's playing both sides. As long as Sherm's on the field, I'm happy. All right. But Sherm is like the perception that people have of Sherm outside of the locker room is completely different from who he really is. You know what I mean? So we know who Sherm is. We understand who Sherm is. then you start hearing all this other stuff. So you kind of gotta, block all that out. And Sherman's an awesome teammate, heck of a football player. I don't see him going anywhere.
And that's just to wrap up on Sherman.
My opinion.
I think the outside opinion of him is, I think most people would say, outside of some loons who are looking to take shots at pro football players. But
a lot of those.
It is weird to me how random people like to do that.
It's easy to do it when you're behind your phone or, a computer screen.
You can do it to a potbelly Jew like me. There's not much danger. But doing it to football guys, what are you thinking doing that?
Yeah, they're not thinking. That's what that is.
Richard Sherman, though, the outside opinion, I think probably among most sensible people, is that he's a smart guy. He's super outspoken. He's brash. He's a trash talker. All true out there. We were watching that. Is he a guy who mouths all through the game?
Through the game? Yeah. But who doesn't? You know what I'm saying? So, it's one other than me. But
because you're classy, that's why.
Who doesn't, though? Sometimes that's what you have to do to get yourself in that mental headspace of being able to play this game of football. It's just what it is. So some guys talk trash. Mike B is a trash talker. It's just certain people that are trash talkers because that's what gets them into their game. That's how they're able to be, great players. So, Sherm talking trash doesn't mean anything. Actually, Sherm, there's been numerous times during the season, he's had to stop me from going off. So, that's just the dynamic of the team. That's just the dynamic of players in general. There's just guys that have to talk trash, have to be outspoken to get them in that mental headspace.
What about we see it? Because, I think the Seattle philosophy, and I am intrigued by the fact that 15, 20 years ago, just from X's and O's and even beyond that, the way you comport yourself in the locker room, there are differences around the NFL. You go from Detroit out to Seattle. We were talking about that on Monday night when we were sitting around. It's funny to me that the teams that are sort of more I don't know how to put it. Open-minded, I guess, is one way to put it. It certainly feels like Seattle mm-hmm. sort of started that trend. Isn't that the Pete Carroll thing? More than any other team, or at least you guys started that sort of thing? We're not going to come down on you as an organization.
I think so, honestly, because that was the biggest adjustment for me. Through your college years, through, if you're with certain programs, it's more of a militant type of, we have to be hard on these guys so they can play, a certain way and kind of make them afraid in a sense. And it's like, okay, that's probably worked in the past. But Coach Carroll has a different approach. It's like, okay, he allows guys to be themselves within being able to play the game. Like whatever it takes for you to be ready on Sundays, he allows you to do that. But obviously, he's not going to let you compromise bringing, the rookies down or anything like that or teaching them the wrong things. But whatever it is, that whoever you are, he lets you kind of go out and do that. And once you cross those lines, as long as you're able to turn it on and do your job, you're all right.
So there is a line, at least. Pete Carroll
you're not gonna go.
Marshawn Lynch, you have to wear pants in the football game. Come on, man.
That's the NFL that's going
to be. Oh, okay. Carroll would be cool with that.
But if that's what makes you play better, hey, go for it. if you don't want to wear pants during the game and the NFL allows it, hey, Marshawn, go for it.
That's an interesting strategy, actually, because I bet there would be some guys in the league be like, no, you just go ahead. I'm not even going to tackle you.
I'm not even tackling you, bro. I'm not even going to tackle you.
But the other side of that is, and we have seen it, I don't know if it actually causes any strife behind closed doors or anything, but we have seen some of the Legion of Boom guys jawing on the field during things and literally pointing fingers. Does that then carry over after the game? Is that in the week that you talk about, hey, no more of this stuff, fellas?
I think that's a part of, what Coach Carroll's created in the sense of, allowing guys to be able to voice their opinions, right? Now, is there a time and place for everything? Yes. But I also think that, that makes you stronger as a team because people aren't afraid to call the other person out. Now, don't get disrespectful with it, but if you call another player out because you're going to go to the back for him, so you need him to do the same, so I don't have a problem with it because if someone calls me out, I'm going to feel some kind of way about it, and I probably need to up my game to match theirs or whatever. Now, if you're disrespectful, then maybe a brawl breaks out.
Oh, I have so many questions about that Seattle locker room. Real quick, I want to mention something. Over undies, and you are the subject of it, or at least part of it, Cliff Averill, and that great Seahawks defense. Over undies, today's question, you tell me over or under. Cliff Averill, you led your team in sacks last year, 11.5.
Yeah.
Over undy, 39.5. How many sacks did the entire Seahawks team get in 2016? Over or undy, 39.5?
Oh, over. Outside of mine or?
Total.
Oh, over.
Over, that's correct. Yeah. You got that right. See, look who knows his team, not just his own numbers. 42 sacks.
Yeah.
Michael Bennett. Oh, before we talk Michael Bennett and the other guys, I want to say, because I told you I was going to say it, and I'm going to say it now.
Yeah.
Cliff Averill doesn't go out in Super Bowl 49. The Seahawks win that Super Bowl. True or false?
The stats say so. The stats definitely say
you were heating up TB there a little bit. You guys were getting to him, and then you went out.
We were on him. They had to single block me and Mike Bennett, and then once I went out, they doubled Mike, and it kind of slowed everything else. Gave him time to throw the ball. So I'd like to say I was the piece, but we'll never know.
Well, I want you to say it, though. I want you to, because you know what?
The numbers say so. The numbers say that if I was in the game, at least up to that point while I was in the game, Tom wasn't doing much. And then afterwards, he went off. So the numbers say that that's the case. And, you know, that's a good thing, I guess, in a sense, for me.
The numbers say it, and now so too does Dave Damashek.
I appreciate it.
I mean, I don't know what else you need. You know?
I appreciate it.
If you want me to place a call to whoever needs to
John Schneider. And Coach Carroll, place a call to those guys. Let them know, hey, if this guy isn't in the game.
Okay, Jim, if this guy. Get MVP. Let's get one of those guys on the line if we can in the next few minutes. While we wait for that, though. Yeah, I really do believe that. Michael Bennett is one of the most fascinating guys. He and his brother.
Hilarious.
Who is is he the funniest guy on the Seahawks? You're a funny guy. It seems like Richard Sherman has a sense of humor.
I'm actually the quiet guy.
Really?
Yeah, I'm actually the quiet guy. I think might be because I'm around him. If we're in the workplace 8 hours, I'm around him probably 7.5 hours. Like, we're together pretty much the whole practice or whole day. And it's nonstop comedy. You know what I mean? Just some of the – I just sit there and like, you really just said that to the head coach, or you just said that to who – you know, so – but that's just who he is. As far as for funniest, yeah, I have to give it to him because he has no filter, and he's an awesome teammate. He doesn't mean any harm, but, you know, sometimes I'm like, Mike, shut up.
Is the key to the Seahawks that it feels to me this era is that – almost everybody on that roster, you're one of the few guys, I mean, a third-round pick. It's not, at least it's not sixth-round pick.
Yeah.
It seems like almost every guy on that team who's relevant is like, do you ever talk about the fact that you guys sort of are a 21st-century version of the 70s Oakland Raiders? Like, people's taken off the scrap heap.
Yeah,
no one wanted us, and you all have rallied around this same chip on the show. You all, it's not one guy. It's the whole team has chip on the shoulder, right?
And you know what? I think that's kind of done by Coach Carroll, because if you even watch the draft process this past year, they gave up the first round draft pick to get more later draft picks. You know, so it's like, okay, we're going to make this happen because we're going to, you know, these guys are going to have a chip on their shoulder. I guess that's kind of their thought process. But of course, I mean, you got Mike Bennett, who wasn't drafted, Sherm, fifth round, you know, Doug, not drafted, all these different guys. I think Earl's the only first rounder, and then Bobby's like a second rounder. Everybody else is late rounders, you know. So I think everybody definitely has a chip on their shoulder, and everybody feels like they have something to prove.
Speaking of those chips, since everybody has them on their shoulders, just try your best to keep them away from Eddie Lacy. Because I'm saying for your sake.
For his sake.
Well, but for the team overall. No chips this year, right?
Yeah, no chips. No chips this year. He definitely should stay away from him. From my understanding, I haven't even met him yet. But from my understanding, they say he needs to stay away from him, and it's going to cost him a couple dollars if he doesn't, I guess.
Has that already been laid down?
Supposedly.
Let's see if we can get a sponsor for the whole Seahawks with a chip company. If it were up to you, Cliff Averill, what chip would it be? What's the best chip?
What is the best chip? Suns. What is it called?
Don't say Sun Chips.
Sun Chips, yeah.
Sun Chips.
They're like a healthy, good chip to me.
Oh, I see. You're one of these people who likes to survive, not live. I like to live, you see. That's why I'll go Pringle.
Well, Pringles are good. Once you start, you can't stop. But, I'm more of a Sun Chip. I mean, I have kids, man. I have to teach them the right way.
I see.
I get stuck eating all the healthy stuff.
I have kids, too, but I don't care. I'm going to eat my Pringles.
Well, I kind of don't do my own grocery shopping. My wife does it. Hey, whatever's in the house and I'm hungry, I got to eat it.
Did you guys have fun in L.A.? I saw you guys running around. You were running off on Monday night to go eat sushi.
Yes. We had a great time. It's actually our anniversary tomorrow.
Whoa.
So I hope she got something planned for us. But I did my part. I got us out here. Hey.
Oh, you – okay. I was going to say, like, that's not how anniversaries work exactly. Like, it's a two
– Yeah, you know. It is. But, I did my part, even though we spent most of the day up here. She's like, all right. So we'll see. We'll see. But now
I brought you to SoCal, hon. Where's my gift?
Exactly.
Let's talk about life, you know, because we don't just talk about the game of football. Oh, we also delve into the game of life. What is Cliff Avril on your life resume? As a for instance, I have on mine my number one. I'm a top 10 or 15 of people I've ever known at work in the remote control. Let me tell you something. In the hotel, you know, people like to be proud of that. Oh, let me have the room. No. I
got this.
When I'm in the hotel, brand new remote, never seen it before. 3 minutes after I don't even need to look at it. What do you want? What do you want on it?
Channel 200.
Last channel. Oh, previous channel. Mom. You know, I got that. I'm the best order of food, bar none, that I've ever known. I've never met my equal going into restaurants ordering food. That's my number one skill in life. What's yours?
Number one skill? Okay, so I really feel like I'm the best dad, but outside of
it's a pretty good one to have.
Yeah, I think I'm the best dad, but outside
I witnessed it. You talking on the phone. You're about to be on TV, and you're like, "Did you got your jammies on there?"
Yeah,
I should watch you do that. So
exactly. No, hey, they come first. But outside of that, I'm definitely the best driver in our family.
Oh,
yeah, I don't allow my wife to drive me around anywhere. I trust her with the kids, but as far as for the whole family, I'm definitely the best driver in the household.
That's a good one to have. Now let me throw this mind bender at you about things that are almost universally true for people. I'm going to give you four things.
Mm-hmm.
You tell me. You can have whichever one you put in first position, you can have whenever you want for the rest of your life.
Mm.
Second position, once every 3 weeks. Third position, once every 3 months. Fourth one, you never get to have it again.
Whoa.
Here we go.
All right.
TV, sex, pizza, booze. Go.
Shoot.
TV, sex, pizza, booze.
TV, sex, pizza, booze. Okay, so we got to go with every day. The first one's every day, right?
Yeah.
Every day TV.
Look at how you look out of the corner of your eye at your wife.
Because she's staring at me.
She's like you. She's the same as you. She's like, we have all these kids. It's enough already. What do you mean every day?
What's the second one?
I'm with you on TV.
How often is the second one?
Every 3 weeks. Once every 3 weeks.
Shoot. That's a stretch. Yeah, TV, sex.
Okay.
How you have it? Booze and then pizza, actually, because I don't even eat pizza. So.
Don't eat pizza.
Not often.
All right, now you're never eating it again. Okay. Goodbye, pizza. You and Cliff Avril had a good run.
Yeah.
Now, what's up with the number 56 already? I told you that too. I don't care for it. No jive. That's my rule here. That's the policy in Studio 66, and it applies here. For all your great deeds, you're one of the great pass rushers of the generation, but 56 leaves me underwhelmed.
So I was 92 in
Detroit.
That's
a better number.
I was also the 92nd pick. That's why I wore it.
Oh.
Yeah, a lot of people don't know that. So I like 92, but when I got to Seattle, Mebane, who was, you know, the longest tenured player there at the time.
He likes chips, too.
He loves chips. And so I actually tried to buy it from him, but he wasn't giving it up. And so the only option were, like, 93. I didn't like that number. And 56. And I also was kind of, you know, the tweener at the time. So there was like, they could play me at linebacker. They could play me at defensive end. So I just went 56.
I guess it's LT. It's so it's, I mean, the real, yeah, the first,
I mean,
LT.
Yeah, the real LT, exactly. So I'll take it.
All right. I had so many other things I wanted to talk with you about. But you know what? Well, now you got to go do your fancy TV show on the NFL Network.
Yeah.
Let's kibitz, though, before the season starts or during the season.
Let's do it.
Should kibitz because I have a lot of other things to talk to you about. We had a good legitimate conversation about that there are a lot of NFL quarterbacks now making in the range of $20 million.
Overpaid.
But the conundrum is – right. But there are only 5 to 7 guys who are actually worth compromising the overall roster for $20 million. It's a fascinating conundrum. Like we were talking about Joe Flacco, you have to pay him, but is he a $20 million guy?
Yeah. I mean, the market is what the market is. You can't fault the guys, but if it jeopardizes, I think, the team from being good, then I think you probably should, you know, kind of take somewhat of a pay cut to at least get some protection up front, or you're not going to see the whole contract anyways. So I think, you know, the market is what it is. You kind of, you know, as any free agent, you're always going to want the most at the time. But like I said, I'll never have that problem because I'll never be making the top at the chain. So to make
– Well, is Schneider on the phone yet? No? All right, well.
Come on, Schneitz. Come on, man.
I'm trying to. When he calls, believe me, that number's going up.
Let's do it.
Cliff Avril, what a pleasure to see you once again. And I've decided we are going to add him to the
Hall of Fame.
However, one asterisk, I'm not going to do 56. I'm going to do 92 in the Seahawks jersey. How about that?
I'll take it, even though I won a Super Bowl in 56.
Okay, I'll think about it. I'm gonna think. You make a compelling argument. All right. The great Cliff Avril, everybody.
Thank you.
Get out of here. And there he goes. Cliff Avril. He's going to go do some fancy television stuff right now. Have a great time, man. A star on the rise. When he gets done with pro football, I suspect you'll hear him doing more of what we just did here, namely flapping his gums about other guys playing football. There he goes. Cliff Avril going behind the glass now. Let's get it over to sideline reporter Savvy, who's standing by with Cliff Avril.
How did it go in there?
It went great. It went well. Had fun. He asked a lot of crazy questions, but, you know, we had fun with it.
You know, you've been a part of a lot of fun experiences, like winning the Super Bowl, becoming a dad. How does being on DDFP, how does that rank in your fun experiences?
Top 10 of the best things I've ever done.
I love it. And you say that your best resume in your life is being a dad. What's your best dad skill?
Best dad skill is putting the kids in the shower at night. That's about as far as it goes for me. The wife gets all the credit for everything else, but putting the kids in the shower, putting them to sleep, and driving them to school.
I like it. That's from Sideline Savvy with Cliff Avril. Back to you, Dave.
Good stuff, Sideline Reporter Savvy and Cliff Avril. And from Avril, now we jump to the matter at hand, the one that came up on Monday night's Top 100 show. Philip Rivers, disrespect, I say. 900 football players voting on this, and they say Philip Rivers is only the 73rd best player. What's worse, what's more damning, in my opinion, is as it stands, there are 14 quarterbacks ranked ahead of Philip Rivers. Here to talk with us about it, he tweeted us during the show on Monday night, and he said, borderline Hall of Famer. He's a certified Hall of Famer. This is a guy who's a Pro Bowler himself. He led the league in interceptions. The Vandy guy. It's Casey Hayward. What's happening, man?
What's up, my guy? How you doing, Dave?
Well, listen, I'm getting by, and I want to make it clear before anything else. I appreciate you sticking up for 17 there, but for the record, I want to make it clear. I said borderline Hall of Famer as of this moment, but by the end of 2017, the way you guys are looking, I think he's going to have a monster year. I think the whole team's going to have a monster year.
You did say that.
He will be beyond reproach, right?
You did say that. I heard that, but still, it's kind of crazy to be borderline now with his numbers. His numbers are crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Is Warren Moon a Hall of Famer?
He is.
Is Dan Fox a Hall of Famer?
He is.
Jim Kelly a Hall of Famer?
Yes.
Look at Phil numbers. I think Phil numbers are better than all those guys. And that's not saying nothing about those guys, because those guys are Hall of Famers. Those guys put in a lot of work. But, you know, I just look at Phil numbers, and even though he doesn't have a ring right now, all his numbers are very similar, if not better, than a lot of guys that's in there or that should be in there.
Well, I agree with you. And, you know, a lot of people will say, how does he compare with his peers in this generation? So let me roll this by you here. And
okay,
we can debate where he ranks in this group. But let's just say here's the top 10 as it stands in my book. And, you know, we can debate the order. But Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers, Cam Newton, Ben Roethlisberger, Drew Brees. So far, those guys are all destined to wind up in the Hall of Fame. Russell Wilson.
Can I ask you something? Can I ask you something?
You may.
Why is Cam and Russell already locked?
Well, I think
and Philip is not. That's the question. I'm not saying that they're not locked, but why are they locked and still is not?
Oh no, no, no. Don't get me wrong. Neither is a lock right now. Neither guy's a lock, but they're tracking in that direction at a relatively early point in their careers. Cam Newton won Super Bowl appearance, won MVP award. I think he's looking good. The two early appearances in the Super Bowl for Russell Wilson. They're not locks, but I'm saying if we're going to just try to measure Phil Rivers in the here and now against the – I think these guys are worthy at least as
– I don't – no. Russell has a Super Bowl, and Russell and Cam is, you know, on the way to be, you know, Hall of Fame quarterbacks. They keep playing at the level they're playing, you know, so don't get me wrong about their play. It's just hard to compare 14 to 6 years.
I agree, but I'm assessing it as of right now, and I think you can make a case that I think somebody could make a good argument that right now, who would I rather have as my quarterback to start the 2017 season? I could see a case being made for, and I don't think I'd say, well, you're crazy to say that if you say you'd rather have Andrew Luck or Matt Ryan personally.
Oh, yeah, no doubt. Or, okay, I can see people, you know, opinions on that. Those guys are younger. Those guys, you know.
Yeah, and for that matter, Derek Carr. But here's where I get where for me it gets a little crazy. Because again, 14 guys are ahead of him. So let's say those 9 names that we just went through they belong on this list at least. Then here's where you get where it gets crazy. Here are 10 names, at least 5 of which definitely have to show up on this list. And I really question if any of them are better than Phil Rivers. They are.
Okay.
Eli Manning. Matt Stafford. Well, let's go through it. Is Eli Manning. Who would you rather have as your quarterback? Well, I mean, you got to say Phil, but I mean, Eli's got rings.
Yeah, you go. But, you know, you look at numbers, Phil and him are very similar. Mm-hmm. I think Phil might have, you know, a better couple numbers, but they're very similar in numbers. And I'm pretty sure Eli's a lock Hall of Famer.
I agree with that. There's Matt Stafford. Now here's where it starts getting crazy in my book.
Matt Stafford had a great year, though.
He had a very good year. But is he better than Phil? Kirk Cousins, Tyrod Taylor, Ryan Tannehill, Joe Flacco, Andy Dalton. Now here are 3 wild cards for you. Jameis, Marcus Mariota, and Dak, all young. They haven't done that much in the league. The point is, that's 10 names. 5 of those names are going to be ahead of Phil. I want to say, not to just curry favor with you, but because I believe it, Phil Rivers belongs ahead of all those 10 names we just went through.
Oh, I definitely say he definitely should be in that conversation. He, like I said, he's one of the best quarterbacks in this league. You go from elite quarterbacks, and then you got good quarterbacks, then you got good elite, great, and good quarterbacks. And Phil is in that elite to great. You know, he's done so many good things around this league, and, you know, that's why I was like, oh, man, borderline is kind of crazy. It's not a borderline for me when he's done so much, and he's in the top 10 in touchdowns, top 10 in passing yards, top 10 in passer rating in his career. So it's like, hey, you know,
Casey, I agree with what you're saying, and the one knock I would have against him, and I do think that at quarterback, no other position really, but I do think it matters how you perform in January and early February. That's the one knock, but, you know, the asterisk I put next to Phil Rivers' name is, the one thing to me is when that Chargers team was loaded, he got them to the AFC title game, but he had a bum knee, and he played through it anyway. LaDainian Tomlinson, the best offensive player, non-QB at least in the league at the time, had to sit out the majority of the game from a bum knee himself. I feel like that was his best chance to date at the Super Bowl. All that being said, like I started off with, I feel like the big reckoning for you guys and for Phil Rivers specifically is this season, because to as far as I can tell, you guys are loaded for bear and you are going to take it out on the NFL for that crazy injury plague 2016.
I hope so.
What do you make of, I mean, I'll go so far as to say, I know everybody has kissed the Oakland Raiders into one of those top two seeds. Oh, this is the Super Bowl favorite even maybe out of the AFC. I feel like legitimately you guys are going to take a real run at them in the West. And I guess the biggest obstacle, you know, health aside, is the move. Everybody keeps making a big deal. Oh, so look what happened with the Rams last year. It was so hard on them. Are you guys worried about the move 2 hours north?
The move is going to be too much for us. This division is so hard. You know, I think this is the best division in the NFL. You got Oakland, Denver. You know, Denver just won it 2 years ago. Oakland's been playing well. Kansas City is, you know, won it last year. So, you know, it's hard to leave those guys out as well, because they're bringing a lot of people back as well. So, I don't think the move is going to hurt us. We got a veteran team, a lot of veteran guys, and we got young guys with a lot of experience as well. So, I think it starts with the quarterback, and he's been here for 14 years, so we'll go as he goes.
Just listen to me as I praise what this roster now looks like. And really, you paired up with Jason Verrett. That's a nasty duo there for Amari Cooper, Michael Crabtree, and the rest of the NFL to contend with. Now you got Bosa heating up on one side and Melvin Ingram on the other. And then you bring back Keenan Allen from the injury. We hope he stays well. And now you throw in Mike Williams and Hunter Henry and Melvin Gordon, and you still have Antonio Gates, and you have Travis Benjamin. You've revised that offensive line at a position when you needed to do it. I mean, I just don't see the weakness. And I'll do one more for you, too. I think that 30,000-seat joint that you're going to be playing in, which a lot of people say, like, I don't know, is that really an NFL stadium? I think that's going to be a virtue for you guys. I think it's going to be loud and crazy.
It's going to be dope. I think it's going to be dope. Kind of reminds me of a small college-type feel. And when it's packed in a small college, trust me, I went to a small college. When it's packed in there, it's rocking.
Yeah, I was going to say, how many seats were there in Vandy Stadium?
45.
And you were there when Vandy, relatively speaking, was pretty good. So you know what it's like when a team's
packed. When it's packed in something like that, it gets to rocking, man. So I'm excited for it. You know, I think we got a chance to be really good. Like you said, we got a lot of targets on offense. You know, gave Phil, you know, some more help up front. Gave him another big target on the outside. And Mike, you know, It sounds good on paper. We just got to, you know, put it on the field. And that's what we plan to do. I think Coach Lynn, you know, he's instilled a lot into us already. We're working really hard. You know, it's all about staying healthy and going out there and competing at a high level.
That's what it seems like to me. And I am not just saying this because I'm talking to you. The Chargers are my team.
No, I know. I heard you've been talking. I've been hearing you. I've been hearing you. You've been giving us a lot of praise. You think we're going to do really well, and I hope so.
It's weird. I mean, I was like, does everybody remember why the Chargers didn't have a great record last year? Because half the roster got hurt. It was like nothing I've ever seen watching pro football for my whole life. Couple more things, Casey.
Yeah.
Before you come to L.A., what area are you going to live in? Because I can help you out. I'd be happy to take you around.
I'm looking in the Costa Mesa area right now.
Oh.
In Anaheim. I might stay by the beach. Just looking at three little locations right now. Haven't decided. So hopefully I decide in the next month. I'll probably go look this weekend.
Yeah, the beach is the right way to go. That's you know, if you're in Southern California, may as well be right near the water there.
Right, you can't beat that.
The other thing is, too, what would really make it really sing here is if you guys would wear the powder blue outfits. How about that? What do you think about that?
I love the powder blue. That's my favorite jersey.
What about the black numbers on the side of the hat? That makes them even better.
I haven't looked at it like that yet, but yeah. I love the powder blue. The powder blue is the dopest of the uniform. I was hoping that it could be our full-time jersey.
I agree.
Of course, it's our right now. So.
And you know, are you intrigued or do you care? I know, you know, you come across the country, you start out going up from Vandy, go up to Green Bay, and now down to Southern California. Are you intrigued at all, sort of as a participant in this gathering, sort of who's going to win the hearts and minds of Southern California? Because the Raiders moving to Vegas eventually is going to be a player. There are a lot of Raiders fans in the area, but now the Chargers are sort of in. I love where you're going to be playing here, and then the Rams. Are you fascinated to see how that breaks?
Nah, man, we're not worrying about, you know, the Rams right now. We kind of just worry about us. If we win, you know, we'll gain more fans, and that's what it's about. We win, we can kind of take over that area. You know, for the people who's not Ram fans in L.A., you know, we go out there and win. Hopefully they'll become the Charger fans, and that's what it's about, winning and gaining more fans.
Well, you know, obviously, as I've said now, you know, I feel like you're going to, day one, you already are going to have a leg up, because this team is nothing short, in my opinion, of a team that can make a real run at winding up in the Twin Cities, leaving Southern California so you can go play where it's minus 6 degrees in February. But
man,
that's
I
a problem.
Like,
you'd be happy to have that problem to worry about.
I agree with you. I agree with you. I can't complain. I'm happy to be in Southern Cal right now. You know, the Decembers and the Novembers and January is so much different here.
Yeah, I yeah, that's right. As long as you didn't give away your parka like Eddie Lacy did a couple last week when he had his garage sale to move out to.
Oh, I seen that. I seen that. You know, he gave it to charity though, so that was good for him.
That was,
you know,
very
that,
nice.
That was good. That was nice of him.
I just hope you kept a nice cardigan sweater, something in case you wind up up
you
in
know
Minnesota.
What? I dress nice, so I go out here and shop a lot, and you know, get some like, you know, some sweaters and things like that, you know, to keep me warm, because, you know, it gets a little chilly in the morning around December time. Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, still, that's what's nice is when you wake up in the morning, especially when you're by the water, you still feel like it's fall outside. That's nice.
Yeah. It don't feel like winter. It's just fall.
Casey Hayward, I appreciate you jumping on with us. Thanks for tweeting at me. I love the defense of your teammate. I had his back the whole time, but looking forward to you guys getting up here this fall and paying off my promise that you guys are going to be good. And like I say, if any of the teammates need any help looking around L.A., I know the area pretty well. I can show you the restaurants. I can show you the good houses and stuff, you know, depending on your needs.
Yeah, okay. I'm definitely a restaurant guy, so I might have you show me around. I might be up that way Monday, so you might see me.
Oh, that sounds good. Casey Hayward. Maybe we'll see Casey Hayward on the top 100 himself. In the meantime, great job defending your teammate, 26. And, you know, stay healthy. Tell everybody on the team, stay healthy this year. And we'll see how far you get in 2017.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
All right. There he is, everybody. Casey Hayward. Nice of him to call in. Nice of him to defend. Again, I think we agree. Future Hall of Famer. That's how it stacks up. We park our cars in the same garage. Great stuff from Casey Hayward. All right, there you have it. A good show. How about that? A great show, even, right? Emma VP, how do you feel? Give it a letter grade. I think that was strong.
It's an A+.
Well, Cliff Averill was great on the Seahawks. Now we get an update on the Chargers, L.A., so on and so forth. Good times. And it's not even Memorial Day yet, right? We'll talk to you next. Oh, wait, see, I didn't get it in. I almost got it in, but you know what? Now I'm going to play it one more time there, Bartlett. Okay, here we go. All right, so to Cliff Averill, to Casey Hayward, sideline reporter savvy Bartlett, Emma VP, the rest of the gang, great show. We'll be back later on with more Hooey and Applesauce. On behalf of MeUndies, it's been a thin slice of heaven.